Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today we're going to conclude a recent interview I had with Dennis Langley. For those who are thinking, that name sounds familiar, but I can't quite place it, well, Dennis Langley began his career as a professional BMX freestyle rider, performing and competing at venues all over the world. He was featured in an issue of Sports Illustrated, not in a swimsuit, but in midair in one of his amazing stunts. He went on to create Perfection on Wheels, a BMX stunt team that did produce events in 10,000 locations worldwide. You can get more information on Dennis Langley and his training programs and check out his podcast. Go to the website at www.5minutebark.com. 5minutebark.com. That's five spelled out, F-I-V-E, bark.com. Now, let's jump right back into the rest of this interview with Dennis Langley.
If you're looking for something to come into your life, right, it's right in front of you. So once you set that intention, the God and the universe brings that now in front of you in different ways. You just have to keep your eyes and ears open for it. So a lot of that was being taught to, like, you know, awareness, okay? Mm-hmm. You ask for something, okay, we're going to give it to you. You just have to kind of do a little treasure map and find it.
Amen. So, amen. But what is Cody Dog? That has to stand for something somewhere
okay,
along the
line. It dolls for this dog right here that's right down here on the floor here. Cody Dog.
Oh, okay.
Dog. Yeah.
All right.
It's my dog. And, you know, in marketing, if you ever learn about marketing, associating to animals it's impossible for people to not have a smile. So I urge you to try to say Cody Dog and not have and be upset about it or be thinking in a negative form. And so I see people at the restaurant like, hey, you're the owner of Cody Dog. They can't say, hey, yeah, that's that guy, that's Cody Dog. You can't say it like with a negative notion,
yeah,
right?
So that's right.
So it's Cody Dog. So it really had this, you know, this vibe to it, and that's how it started. And then the 5 minute bark is basically an offshoot of that. So
yeah, and the 5 minute bark is your podcast. Now it's not 5 minutes long, but how did you come up with the 5 minute bark when it's not a 5 minute podcast?
That's a great question. So I started an inspirational podcast called the 5 minute bark, and it was only supposed to be 5 minutes of intentions for each day. So I was doing 4 days a week, I think, and it got redundant real quick. You know, you can only so many things you can talk about with motivational by yourself. And I got this opportunity to interview a gentleman by the name of Stephen Weatherford from the New York Giants at the time. And I was like, what podcast can I put him on? Can I put him on I had a podcast called Made in America, and also the Cody, the 5 minute bark one. So I said, well, 5 minute bark would be more suited for it. So I'm like, well, it's not 5 minutes, and I can't interview in 5 minutes. It's just impossible. So I was trying to, you know, be a short interview, and end up being a 20-minute interview. And then it's like, this is just so much better than a thing. But I had all the branding in place, and I knew that later on, and somehow I could maybe do a short version, a 5 minute version of the episodes, which never I do now. What's called video trailers that are 2 or 3 minutes long, but they're not five. So
okay.
But it's basically, the branding is just really great. I mean, I asked my audience, like, should I change this branding because it says 5 minutes? I'm like, no, we love it. So
yeah,
what do you gotta do, right?
And it's easy to remember too.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I've seen the pictures. Oh, there's Cody in the background right there. There you go.
Yes,
you. I've seen the pictures with Cody and you on your website and stuff. So I figured that was Cody, but I just wanted to ask that question to find out. Now, what made you decide to become a motivational speaker? Was it being asked to come and perform at these schools and events and things like that?
So being an athlete is kind of one of your responsibilities, right, is to speak to people. And that, moving on to doing all the shows in front of the schools, literally I did over 3,000-5,000 appearances in front of kids and families and, you know, corporate events and so on and so forth. So you just naturally become a speaker, an inspirational speaker. And how you set that tone, whether it's a drug awareness tone or a self-awareness or something, there's different, you know, obviously.
Right.
Tone.
Different intents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just something that came along. I didn't decide that. It kind of appeared in my life. And,
okay.
And that's how I got into this, and that's how I'm podcasting today.
Amen. Amen. Well, you train people in what you call how to nail their trick. Explain what you mean by that and how they can accomplish it.
So manufacturing celebrity is more how I guess what I would say it. To nail their ability to show up, right? And become a celebrity. So in any business out there, and if you're listening and you're in a business or you're in a charity or something like that, there's the way of understanding that you have to relate to an audience out there. And we call it celebrity. We all look up to people that are movie stars. We all look up to people that are athletes. These are celebrities.
They do
certain specific things that get them in that position. So some are saying, well, I don't want to be a celebrity. I don't want all that attention. Well, there's different levels and different ways you can go about being a celebrity. But basically, when I started my podcast, I had to manufacture or create the celebrity to be a radio show. You're a radio show host, right? So you need to be that celebrity. You have to play that role. And there's certain things that we do, a process we go through to create that. So it may start locally at your local gym, or it might stay at your local golf course or your local coffee shop. You know, you're that person that kind of stands out that maybe people enjoy talking to, and how you present yourself there just naturally creates this celebrity, this local celebrity, and it moves on to a city level or a city level or a state level or a global level. So you kind of move up this ladder, placing yourself or making that decision to be that expert. So for example, in podcasting, I now teach people how to podcast. Okay. Yeah. I've established myself as an expert. It can either happen by somebody asking you, or you saying, you know what, I have a trade here that I would love to teach people with. So why don't I decide to share this? So there, by doing that, people go, oh, wow, I was taught by Dennis Langlais. He really taught me really well. So now you're developing this expert, which we call celebrity, and you're growing your niche. So what's the benefit of this? Well, you get more exposure. Obviously, you can double and triple and quadruple your pricing.
Oh, yeah.
You can you get more opportunities. So an opportunity is like today being on this show here, okay? Right? That's an opportunity. It comes from being a celebrity. You found me in a celebrity situation. So
that's right. And with the radio station that we have, I guess here in the local area that I'm in, that would be what I'm known for. Is the being, here's the guy that has the radio station, and I mean, whenever I am going somewhere, that's what will come out. Yeah, I can understand completely what you're talking about. Now I have to ask you, go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Well, let me ask you, since we're on that subject. So what you have that position, we'll call it positioning. And so would you argue with me to say that you've gotten people come up to you and offer you opportunities because of that?
Oh, no. I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's, I've gotten more broadcasters just because I have that radio station. I get emails, I get people, in church services. Hey, I want to introduce myself. I'm here. Or there'll be a guest speaker in at a church and the pastor will come up and introduce and say, you need to be on his radio station, things like that. Right. So, yeah, it happens all the time. All the time.
So, audience, when you're listening here, now listen to what he just said. He said, you have to be on his radio station. That wasn't him saying it. That was somebody that listened to his show or heard about his show.
Yep.
So now you'll build what's called a tribe. These people that follow you, that are excited about you, and they essentially hand you money. They hand you business. They hand you opportunity. This guy down the street might own John Deere lawnmowers, and he wants to get a pitch in. He might want to have, someone show up at his show, local dealership or something. All these opportunities come from positioning yourself as a celebrity, and it doesn't cost anything. It's just a decision you make to move forward in doing something you really love and being in front of people, getting on podcasts, getting in front of your church, getting in front of your school, getting in front of your police station, doing more things where you're the role. And I want to point out one more thing with this, everybody. You don't have to sit there and be that speaker. You don't have to be that person that's necessarily the one that takes the lead. You can invite several other people that are celebrities to speak on your behalf.
Yeah.
Now it's funny, you haven't said a word, but now you are the celebrity because you're the one that brought together the program. Some people are like, I don't want to be famous, Dennis. I don't want to have that whole role of speaking in front of me. I don't, I'm really shy about that. Create an event and invite people to speak on your behalf and you just sit in the back of the room, and somehow you end up being more famous than the people that showed up.
Amen. I love how that works out, too.
Huh? Right.
Amen. I have to ask you to tell us the story of how you ended up on the Grant Cardone show, since we already mentioned it.
All right. So just so you listeners know, Grant Cardone, like I kind of mentioned before, he's a multi-millionaire who is a real estate investor, and he started coming into the radio show world and being an inspirational speaker, teaching people how to do sales. So with that said, I saw his wife on a platform called Blab. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It was around a year or so ago, and it was similar to Skype here, but you can have four or five people speaking at the same time. And I was doing this Blab thing where I had a 12-hour podcast, so to speak, and I'd have guests come on for 12 hours straight for a marathon. It was really, really exciting. Literally had to go to the bathroom like 4 minutes. I had 4 minutes of like time the whole 12-hour day to go to the bathroom and eat. So anyway, I was preparing for that. But prior to, I had saw his wife on Blab, and I looked him up, and I was like, oh, I want to get on the show. So I emailed him in different ways and trying to get on the show. No response. As many people had, no response.
Right. Yep.
So, I kind of let that kind of go. And then one day I was setting up my Blab for the next day because I had to start at 6 a.m. and everything had to be right. All my guests had to be checked in and everything. And I pop on the screen and open up, and Blab started doing the most popular Blab they'll put on your screen when you get in there. So sure enough, Grant Cardone and a few other folks that were pretty famous were on there, and they were taking guests. So I could play the whole thing for you. I actually have it recorded to when I first met him. So they said, as you can see in the background here, I've got a step and repeat, right? So first things those guys said as soon as I popped on the screen, they were just so in shock. They were so in awe of like how professional I was and how I conducted myself. He said, man, I'd really love to have you on the show. And I said, that's funny because I've been begging you, I've been trying to contact you to get on your show. So sure enough, instead of me inviting myself, he invited me on his show because of my professionalism and how I was creating celebrity without even speaking a word, right? So he invited me to go down there, and it was in Miami. And at the time, I was just starting my podcast. Finances were very, very low. And I had to figure out how to get a plane. I had to get a plane ticket. I had to stay in a hotel, and I had to eat and so on and so forth. At the time, I had my mortgage money. And as either pay my mortgage or take this trip. And I took the trip. I took the money. I didn't even have enough credit card space to even rent a car. I had to kind of finagle all of that. But I said, I got to do this. This is obviously it led to this interview right here to this day, years later. I said, I got to do this. So I figured out a way. I got a friend who was actually a pilot to give me a plane ticket. I got out there and I was hoping, I can just find a place to stay for fixed. I'll stay in a dump hotel. Hotels were super expensive. They were like $150 a night for a dump. So I went out there. I put one suit in my bag, and I was like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go out, just so I can reduce the amount of expenses possible. So I go to the Grant Cardone show. I'm in the waiting area to go on the show. And this guy named Dragon, who is Tony Robbins' right-hand man, is in the room as well. So he was going on before me or after me. I'm not sure. And I start to talking to him. And Tony Robbins was in town doing his event. So they're like, yeah, you should go to the event. I'm like, I always wanted to go. I can get a really reduced ticket right now. And so I end up actually making the decision to stay 7 days more to go to the Tony Robbins event. And it just turned into this incredible, like, trust the universe kind of situation. Just take me where you want to take me, right? Go through this motion.
Order your steps.
Yeah. And I end up being hanging out with all the VIPs because of my podcast. I got, again, using my celebrity, I was hanging out in the front row with all the VIPs who paid $9,000 and $10,000 and $12,000 for ticket. I was invited down there. I was moving, shaking, meeting people. I knew Dragon, his right hand man. If you look on Facebook right now, you look up Dragon. Tony just gave him the opportunity of a lifetime. And just all this thing was kind of happening. I also had Tony Robbins' son on my show and the podcast. And so all these connections were just happening. And it was a massive risk. Yeah.
So you risked it, but you benefited because you were willing to take that risk.
Take that risk, yeah.
Amen. Now, that's one of the pitfalls of entrepreneurship is finances, and especially in the beginning. You experienced some of those challenges, as you just said, but how did you overcome them, and how do you train others to overcome them?
You know, if you're listening today and you're in those positions like you and I have experienced, I'll just remember one day that really kind of helped me to know that it's just going to be okay. I'll never forget our day. It was April 15th, tax day. And I was so broke that I didn't even have change in my tray in my car, in my golf bag, in my house to buy a 35-cent stamp. Mm. Now, I don't want you to feel bad for me because I live in La Jolla, California. I live in the finest city. I have a, you know,
been there.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful home. I have a car. I have, you know, so I'm not looking for people to, but I'm just going to tell you the reality is, I didn't have a dime to my name that I could resource to pay for a stamp to send my taxes in. And I was just looking there. It was a hot, sunny day, and I had my sunroof open. And I'm just sitting there parking, like, so isolated and lonely in this parking lot, just looking up through my sunroof, and I just started laughing. There was so much pressure. There was so much stress. There was so much, where's my life going to go from here? I'm going to lose everything. You know, all those thoughts you have. And I just looked up, and that supernatural faith kind of kicked in, right? And I just started laughing. And within moments, I had received the PayPal, or I received the check in the mail, or something happened for money almost instantly.
Yeah.
Because I was blocking God. You know, I was blocking the situation. I was blocking what life was supposed to give me.
Yeah.
And consistently, we have to stop ourselves from blocking what's supposed to happen. You know, you jump out of a plane, right? You're just jumping, right? You're trusting that chute's going to fly, and people do it over and over and over again. We jump out of planes. We get in planes. We drive in our car. We do all these different things that we just do them on autopilot, but that car gets you that place,
yep.
You know, 100%, 99.9% of the time, it gets you there. So why can't you get yourself there,
amen.
Right? Why can't you get yourself to the money you need? Why can't you get yourself to the health you want? Why can't you get yourself to the job you want? You can. You just got to let the supernatural faith take over.
Amen. Now, in your coaching program for entrepreneurs, in your speaking events as well, how do you get your audience to go to that next level of whatever it is you're speaking about? Whatever, you know, your motivation speaker, trying to get them to get out of their comfort zone and take that step, jump out of the plane, as you were saying.
Right. Are you ready for this?
Go for it, brother.
It's realizing where you are, what you want, and how bad you want it. Realizing where you are, what you want, and how bad you want it. You wake up every single morning, and you have decisions to make. You can watch the news. You can take all these different decisions, and people clog themselves with the idea of, you know, procrastination, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's jump. It's just jump. Jump. Jump into it. Jump into the podcast. Jump into the interview. Jump into it. Jumping into it. And I mean, I'm sure right now, if you're listening, think of something you did before you were so nervous that you did. And also you did it. And like, it was a splash of cold water and just so refreshing after.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh my God, I talked in front of this crowd. Oh my God, I talked to that cute guy. Oh my God, I talked to that cute boy. Oh my God, I talked, you know, oh my God, I just said what I wanted to say in that interview. And it just worked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Quick story along that lines. When I was in the Army, I was enlisted for 9 years, and I was selected to go from, I was a drill instructor, and I was selected to go from one post over all the way across the country to Virginia and help them establish having drill instructors in their schooling programs. And at that time, I was finishing my college. I wanted to become an officer and go to officer candidate school in order to do that. And as I started working on putting together the packet, one of the requirements was I had to have a flag-level officer write me a letter of recommendation, and he could not be in my chain of command. Well, when I left my old post, that was my job. That's where everything was that would have been easy to accomplish. Over here, the only flag officer I had was the brigade commander, and he was in my chain of command. He's the only one that could sign off on it. So I was out for a run one day trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. And as I'm running past headquarters, the flag of the commanding general is out there. You know, it's just showing that he's in the office that day. And I said, worst thing you can do is say no. So I stopped, and I'm all sweaty. I walk into the secretary's office. She's like, can I help you? Because I need to make an appointment with the general. And she goes, what's this about? So I explained it. And about that time, this voice came from behind me. He says, do I know you? And it was him, right? I said, oh, no, sir. You know, I explained the situation real quick. And he said, make an appointment. It takes balls to walk in here like that. So, and that's how I got my letter of recommendation. Now, I had a letter of recommendation from a general, and there's just some lieutenant colonels on the selection board. I knew I was in because otherwise they'd be telling the general no. And no lieutenant colonel would want to tell a general no. So, but like you said, you know, you just decide you're going to take that step, and that's what happened, you know, and it worked.
Let me ask you a question. How did you feel? Tell me in 3D, like, how did that feel when that happened?
Totally awesome. Like, I was bigger than life at that point in time, you know?
Explain more to the audience. Like, totally awesome doesn't even, I mean.
I was floating on a cloud. I mean, I went back out. I had already run something like 3 or 4 miles, and I turned around. It took me 5 more miles just to calm down enough where I could catch my breath, I guess you could say. You know, went back in and told my commanding officer about it, and he's like, no way, you know. But that, you know, made my next 4 years, really, in the military. But, yeah, it wasn't really risky because I'd already told myself the worst they can do is say no. There was no pain involved in it. You know, it's not like, oh, if he says no, I'm going to be so depressed. You know, there was nothing like that. It was just, you know, the only thing that can happen is good or stay the same. It's not going to go down, you know, and it was good. You know?
All right, audience, you start right there.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just a decision. It's a decision. Yeah. So many people are so scared to make a decision. And, you know, I don't want to go politicians or not, but love him or hate him, you can hate decisions our president makes, but he's making decisions. And, you know,
he refuses to kick the can down the road.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, sure, we all make bad decisions. We all say stupid things. But, when we make decisions, whether they're good or bad, we're still respected. Yeah, and to make decisions in your life, you know, it's been a difficult thing for people these days. You know, in the last several years, everybody's scared to say something about a shirt. We're scared to make a decision in our job. We're scared to start a business. We're scared to do all these things because we don't want to offend anybody. But you know what? If there's something I can give you guys, and scriptures say it, everything says it, is you are a different person for a reason. You attract certain people for a reason. We have our own little groups. Polarity is actually a good thing, not a bad thing. If you were to be around 20 baseball players for the rest of your life and just play baseball, that would be so cool. If you were to be around 20 people that just want to read the Bible, that's so cool. And, you know, sometimes you get that person that wants to come in and they're not such a good baseball player. They're a football player. And you try to, now your energy of that group kind of gets fizzled a little bit because you're trying to be nice to that person, but you got your group going. Either they fit in or they don't. They find their group later. So a lot of people are just so afraid that to have these groups that they really love being a part of because they don't want to offend other people and they want to try to gravitate them in. That person has to make that decision if they want to gravitate in. They have to come and join your energy. They have to join your tribe. They have to be in that spot. We're not all made to be one. We're all to be.
That's right.
Awesome together in our own little groups, right?
Amen. That's right. I mean,
that's why there's color on this earth, there's personalities on this, none of it's the same.
Amen. That's right.
On purpose.
Amen. Now, Dennis, I want to thank you for coming on the program today. I know the information that you just shared is going to inspire some of our listeners somewhere to keep training until they nail it. Amen. I love that phrase. And if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, ask about one of your training programs, or to invite you to speak at a conference or on a podcast like this, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Dennis Langlais, and that's Langlais. You can find me on Facebook. You can also find me on my website, 5minutebark.com. That's FIVEminutebark.com. I would love to work with some of the people out there. If there's some people out there that like say, hey, you know, I love what Dennis did as a guest. I train people on being a guest and how to effectively speak and how to share your story. We call it sharing your message. I had somebody sign up today. She's like, Dennis, I saw how you trained Rosie and how she was able to tap into her passion and share her message in a clear way. Some people, we're all struggling with sharing our own message, including myself. Mm-hmm. Who Amen. We are, what we're supposed to do in this world. I help people tap into that and get their message clear. Be able to say it and have people understand it. How many times have you explained yourself about your business to somebody and they didn't get it? Mm-hmm. They had asked 3 or 4 or 5 questions. How many times you tried to sell a product and you just couldn't get it nailed down? How'd you try to sell yourself to a human being or in a relationship, right? And you couldn't say what you want to say about yourself. I help people get clear on message. And if they're looking for that kind of guidance, I have coaching available for that as well.
Amen. Well, folks, there you go. Go to 5MinuteBark.com and look around and sign up. Praise the Lord. Dennis, again, we're all out of time for today. And I keep telling everyone I have to get this clock checked because it seems to be running fast all the time.
And didn't that happen?
Every time I get in an interview, I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's time to stop already. But praise God for you. May God continue to bless your business because you are getting the message out there. People are listening and people are changing their lives. And when you change your life now, the world is a better place. Amen.
So, amen.
I appreciate your time. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dennis Langley and myself, this is Pastor Bob Tibble reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.